Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 1985. The album is Dare to be Stupid. The artist is Weird Al Yankovic. And my guest is Jensen Karp. Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, thank you. I'm holding the vinyl and I feel as if it's back and I'm 6 years old buying it at Music Plus. So I'm very happy to have that feeling.
So you did actually get it when it came out?
Yeah, my mom would take me to the record store every week growing up. Music has always been a thing of mine. And if Weird Al had anything from a 45... or a full album sheet, I would just buy it on sale site. Yeah, just immediately take it.
Do you still have them all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have every one of them. Yeah, I wouldn't get rid of anything.
Are there any... Okay, so there might be, like, some special single... Before we get into the album, Are there, like, some special singles I might not be aware of?
This, I don't remember. Like a Surgeon, I have on 45.
Okay.
That I know I have.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any other... I'm sure he released other ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't have any of them.
Okay.
But I know I definitely have the Like a Surgeon 45, because that was the single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what the B-side was?
No. It may either be Slime Creatures from Outer Space or Dare to be Stupid.
Oh, okay.
Because I know it was an original.
Sure.
But I don't remember what it exactly was. Someone will tell you, I'm sure, seconds when they're done being mad at me.
Uh-huh. Okay, so my guess is this is not your first Weird Al album.
No.
So did you have them from the very, very beginning?
Yeah. I think every single one that I could get at an age where it made sense, I would get immediately new at the record store.
Yeah.
And it was like my history with hip hop is around the same exact time. So I was buying like Raising Hell on album or License to Ill around that time. Like all those things within the same 2 year span. And Weird Al was just one of the more pop records that I would buy.
Okay.
It just spoke to me. And I was always like a weird Pitchfork critic, even at like a young age, which I get made fun of for now. But I loved him so much, and I felt it was credible. And at the same time, I was buying the Curly Shuffle 45, and I was buying some other things that were like semi-funny.
Yeah.
But he was sort of the straight-out satire comedian stuff.
Yeah.
And I would buy Let's Get Small or some of the other comedy albums that I think maybe my dad would turn me on to, or people who had HBO specials that would tune me into going to get their album. But the one that I stuck with most consistently was Weird Al.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know when you first heard him?
Eat It comes after the, no, Eat It comes before this.
Yeah, just before.
Fat comes before it. So Eat It, I think, is the first time I was like a coherent human being.
Okay.
And was like, that's funny, and this is why it's funny. So I may have heard it before, but I don't think anything beats that Eat It moment where you saw the video and MTV really gravitated towards him. And I think that was where I first became very aware of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know like the Dr. Demento radio stuff like that. I would be way too young.
Like, you know, the way you're describing it, because I can't remember when I first heard Weird Al. It would have been like a year behind because I lived overseas whenever I finally discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you're right. That Eat It thing is like, there's something like, so when you're a kid, what's recognizable is immediately funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Simpsons rule.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, those characters speak to me because they're like yellow cartoons.
Exactly.
But like as you get older, you're like, oh, there's a whole different level of joke here that I didn't see when I was six.
Exactly.
And Al is such a king. I mean, even now, and I've done comedy with him since, it's like he is he's just the smartest person in the room.
Yeah.
In every case.
Yeah.
And for him to be doing such immature, childish music and also be sort of this almost valedictorian for alt comedy.
Yeah.
It's unparalleled. There's no one else who's done that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, in a way, because I feel like the level of parody he's doing is underappreciated for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Eat It, in terms of like the video, the whole piece, like if you want to consider it an art piece, that video, you know, is like the beginning of homage culture, if there is such a thing, because like I'm a huge fan of Edgar Wright, and I'm a huge fan of Edgar Wright because he does it the right way.
Yeah, it's like remixing the correct way. It's like it's like what you didn't like about rap in like the early 2000s. It's like, well, I get that you're referencing Jimmy Page and that Godzilla song, but like I don't want to hear that. And so the thing about Al, and I was thinking about this today, is like, the reason that he's so heralded and still can, and his biggest record was just 2 years ago, right?
Right.
Which is so bonkers. But the reason that our generation has stuck with him so much, and then a new generation has come on, and our parents are still into him as well, is because he's just so musical. And it's the difference between like Rick Dees's Disco Duck that came out around the same time.
Sure.
Within 5-6 years at least.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just, it's just garbage satire, which I'm sure is funny. And
sure.
Arsenio Hall had a a rap alias, Chunky A. Like, a lot of comedians, right. Yeah, were releasing rap or different kinds of, like, parody. But he was musical, and he killed at the accordion, and he had a lineage of musicians in his family. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what's made him different, is that he's so musical and so talented, and not just making fart jokes, but also making fart jokes.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple moments, well, couple, but, like, just a few that stand out, because you can, and I do still, take the musicality for granted.
I know, it's hard to really not just focus on the lyrics, but on those polka medleys, mm-hmm. and one of my favorite ones of all time is on this record, it's like, he's killing, you know, he's like, yeah. he's slaying these, it's like, it's funny, because it's like, oh, it's polka, but, like, also, it's really good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird, he walks this thin line that, like, nowadays, A Lonely Island can do as well for, mm-hmm. like, a new generation, but you're sort of like, am I supposed to love this? Or am I supposed to, like, laugh at it? Like, there's a very... And I, in my music career, tried to do the same thing, and I wasn't quite as successful as Al was. And even looking back now, I'm like, well, I don't know if I ever nailed that. But mm-hmm. but as I got older, I've gotten better at it. And I just did a bit this last weekend for the MTV Movie Awards, where the goal was to make, like, a credible song and also funny at the same time. And I think we achieved that. And all of that comes from sort of my influence from Al.
Yeah. Well, you, and I feel like also you had the, I don't know, I wouldn't call it misfortune, of course,
yeah.
But to stumble into rap and also comedy at the same, that's not an, because it's, you know, it's contentious for some people.
Yeah.
People get real angry at it.
Yeah, well, nowadays, not so much, but in 2000, mm-hmm. you know, it was like, mm-hmm. they were like, don't bring your comedy into our hip hop. I mean, yeah, that was pretty much what my response was. Now you listen to it, and it's funny, because, like, I've aged well,
mm-hmm.
like, listening to the music back then, I was like, oh, like, even a couple of years ago, I was like, I hate listening to this.
Okay.
And now I listen to it, and I'm like, oh, well, that's cool, because it's ahead of its time.
Right.
Now everyone's sort of doing this. And I even don't feel as weird mm-hmm. listening to most of it. So I think that my influence from Al was prevalent. I mean, it in everything I ever released, it sort of thanked him as an influence. But it wasn't really ready for hip-hop yet. You were either mm-hmm. sort of making a joke song or staying away from hip-hop.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's similar. It's just you're either a white guy doing a rap about, like, the Whole Foods parking lot or how Jewish you are.
Right, right.
Or you're actually doing real rap, which is what I try to still steer towards if every once in a while when I play around.
Sure. But, mm-hmm. I mean, like, and honestly, some of the best rap, at least early on. I mean, any good rap can have humor in it.
Yeah, so, Fatboys, I mean, and so many funny people, like, sort of in the early days, there was mm-hmm. songs about, you know, Dos FX were really funny to me, and mm-hmm. there were a lot of groups that I found to be almost, like, comedic-like, but I was being myself at the same time, which
right.
a lot of white rappers weren't doing up until recently.
I mean, I just, the other day, I went shopping and bought, just because it was there, mm-hmm. I bought the single of The Message. Like, it was just,
yeah.
There's some really strong shit in there, too.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a tough song, but
yeah,
like,
but also kind of, like, hokey.
Sure.
Which is funny, because yeah. he that song is so heavy with what he's saying, but at the mm-hmm. same time, he's just like, and around the block. You're like, right. why are you rapping like that? You sound like Don Pardo. and so, like, I feel like, if for hip-hop at least, Al was sort of where I got out my humor, because mm-hmm. as a kid, I was so serious about getting the Public Enemy records, and maybe the Beastie Boys obviously were funny, but mm-hmm. there wasn't much I could go to.
Yeah.
Everyone was pretty serious, so I would get out my humor with him, or I'm trying to think of other ones I would buy at the time. Like, obviously, like, King Tut on record, and
sure.
certain things that I would listen to that I knew were purely funny.
What was his... What's Weird Al's first hip-hop song? I'm now, like,
Well, his first real one would be the Coolio...
I thought maybe,
Amish
right?
Paradise.
That just seems late to me, but
and then,
maybe he...
I don't think he did it. I don't yep. think he messed with it until then, really. And then yeah. there's White and Nerdy.
Right.
But I don't... And then I think he's done a couple things, but mm-hmm. I don't think he ever really wanted to get into it.
Right.
And for good reason. I think he knew not to.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Coolio was sort of the opening.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so... Did you share this album with people, or was it just for you?
This was for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if... Because in my book, I talk about a lot the idea that I didn't share hip-hop with people in my school because I knew they wouldn't accept it.
Okay.
Like, I went to an all-white school.
Sure.
And they were, you know, my high school is where, like, Incubus came from and Linkin Park and Hoobastank. Like, mm-hmm. there was a definite sound coming out of our high school.
Sure.
And... Hip-hop was not it. And in middle school, I was, like, bullied for liking rap and sort of, like, considered wanting, like he wants to be black. And it was sort of a weird, strange time for me. And then a couple of years later, to have them all just to convert one time into hip-hop was sort of an ironic feeling. But I wouldn't share music until hip-hop ended up becoming sort of the mainstream.
Yeah.
And then I was DJing all the time in college and playing this Big Pun record and playing this and trying mm-hmm. to introduce people to Jay-Z or whoever it was in 96. That was my focus. But before that, I wouldn't share. And I think because if I did share Positive K or I did share some of these things, no one related to me.
Okay.
Growing up. So I think I did the same stuff with, even if it was, you know, Twisted Sister or whatever 45 I was buying, I didn't, did you hear this? I don't think I did that.
Yeah. Okay.
And my cousin, I have an older cousin. I'm an only child, so I didn't get that like vinyl luck where you like
hear. Okay, yeah.
But my cousin would play me things every once in a while if it was UTFO or Third Base or Houdini or whatever he'd play me, and then I'd just go to warehouse and buy it all out because I just needed it.
Right. I'm going to pull up the track list because I kind of want to just go down it just bit by bit.
It's so good. I listened again this morning and
was so solid.
Just blown away by how perfect it is.
It's actually sad how short it is.
Yeah, but it's almost, strangely, I was like, man, he really, there's no filler.
Mm-hmm.
No filler at all.
Yeah, that's true. The only one that, like, I think threw me, because I didn't, this one is not one that I heard until probably much later.
Yeah.
I just had In 3D and the first album.
Yeah, and 3D's great.
And this one just, I think, came onto my radar later when I could steal
all the
music.
Oh, you know what? I definitely didn't have the first album.
Really?
Because I remember as a kid, wow, weird memory. I remember as a kid seeing the first album and being like, oh man, what is this? Because it's like drawn.
Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't have it. And I remember being like, what is this? And then getting it much later and not loving it.
Okay.
Which is funny. But I think because I didn't discover it new.
Yeah.
And satire, it's like you want to hear it pretty new.
Sure.
So, but I do remember not having that at all, not knowing it existed. So I had heard of him first through the second record.
Well, I just love too just how much. I don't remember what he said, but Mark Mothersbaugh once said like he was just so upset when he heard "Dare to Be Stupid" because it was like the best Devo song that had ever been made.
Because it's so good, and it's his best original. I know it's a parody of a type.
Yeah, but
it's his best original song.
Yeah.
Ever. It's so good. It's not even really like a joke.
No. No.
It's just good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What stands out about that song to you then, if it's that strongly to you as his greatest original?
Medley is just good. It's just the melody of it is good. Mm-hmm. Like just the overall musicality of the song is really good. And also like it's so, it's like, it gives you a time of, you know when it was, you know it was 85. Like, that sounds like 1985.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also timeless.
Yeah.
Like you could play it at any point. And it's like Kraftwerk in a way. It's like, you know it's from a certain era, but like I can listen to Kraftwerk whenever.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, NWA sampled Kraftwerk. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's had different lives. And Dare to Be Stupid for me is, you know, you don't have to have any postmodern prerequisite to get it. You don't have to know that like this was a Devo song. You don't really have to know that.
Yeah.
And it's just funny and it's not campy. Mm-hmm. You know, like the song I actually don't love on this record is "Girls Just Want to Have Lunch," which is a great parody or whatever, like name wise.
Sure,
but like it's his corniest one on the record.
It is,
and in a weird way, this is his most mature album.
Mm-hmm.
So like, "Girls Just Want to Have Lunch" isn't that. It's kind of like his most immature part.
I know.
So when you listen to "Dare to Be Stupid," though, it plays on a higher level than almost anything he had played in before.
Mm-hmm.
But you also see that on "This Is the Life," and then "One More Minute." Are both more like "One More Minute," especially. It's like when you hear that, it's like you can hear how Adam Sandler was influenced by it, and you can hear how sort of like generations of funny musicians to come were influenced by that.
Yeah,
those are all just great.
It gives him, especially with "One More Minute," I mean, at least gives him. He's doing goofy singing voice, but like we get, I think, a better feeling of his range because it's not just high pitched screaming Al.
Yeah,
as much,
you're like, wow, he's musical.
Yeah,
and you gotta wonder the dude who signed him. I always think of that, like the guy who's not Jay Levy, but the guy who like signed him to CBS. Like, could you have ever seen this coming?
No.
Like, could you have ever imagined that the guy who did the rock and roll, you know, the Rocky Road song, would have a 30-year career? Like,
no.
And by the way, show no signs of slowing down?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the days of Alan Sherman were far dead.
Yeah.
By this time.
Yeah.
Stan Freberg had, you know, he'd always mixed his work up between doing comedy albums and advertising, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and Demento was somewhat regional.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't grow up getting to listen to
him. Me neither, no.
So, and like, it's just, I mean, we've talked about this before, just the idea that a quote-unquote novelty comedian somehow fucking just surmounted that just...
It's crazy.
Easily.
Yeah.
Seemingly easily.
And also being a great human being has been like so much
the
of his...
The nicest man I've ever met.
Just the greatest guy in the world. And so that also, it doesn't help his incredible talent, but it does help everyone wanting to be around him.
Sure.
And like even nowadays, like when I did something, I've done a couple things with him, and then whenever he's in a room, in the same room as anyone, like it doesn't matter how like jaded alt comedian you are or like how, you know, elitist you think you are, like you become like a boy. Yeah. You become like a young child and there's a hero of yours in the same room, and then he's just so excited to shake your hand and meet you. It's thrilling.
Yeah,
it really. And he's doing the Bowl this year.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, right. He's playing the Hollywood Bowl.
His tickets aren't on sale yet.
Not yet, April.
I'm so fucking pissed.
Yeah, no, I will clearly be there. I think it's in 2 weeks.
Two
maybe,
weeks?
Maybe. Like maybe all May. Right. One of the two. But I'm going.
If you guys are out there listening, buy me tickets.
Yeah,
I'll get it for myself. But I'm just saying, if you want to buy me, because you like the podcast,
you're allowed.
This is how you support the show.
I never noticed that Yoda is a trademark of the Lucasfilm.
I noticed that too when I was looking at the back of it.
On the back of the album, it lists a credit for Yoda, but I guess that's because they had to clear the very scary Lucas trademark rules.
Same with the droid phone. Somehow he owned droid as a shortening for Android. I don't fucking get that.
And he sued Dr. Dre for using the THX sound at the beginning of the Chronic.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's on top of music.
Has anybody ever, this might be a dumb question because I know shit about hip hop.
No, please.
Has anybody ever sampled a Weird Al original for any hip hop?
I'm sure someone has. Right? No one in a commercial, no one in like a way I would know.
Right.
I mean, people have referenced him before.
Sure.
But I don't think anyone has ever just stolen a thing from him. That would be cool if they did.
Yeah.
But Rick Derringer, had a regular rock career on his own, right? Right.
Yes.
So he
was looking that up.
Yeah, so he produced like three of Al's records?
I think so. Let me see. But I think that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I want to see also, because I love looking at what his, the rest of his stuff is. Because I think he also ended up, I know this is showing what else I was listening to as a kid, but I think he also produced for the WWF.
Really?
Like when they would release their like Pile Driver album, like he was a guy willing to take on, like he was a guy willing to take on a lot of kind of novelty projects, but also be like kind of a guy who had a hit.
Yeah.
I can't get my phone to work, but if it tells you what else he worked on, I would love to hear what Rick Derringer worked on.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull that up. So what's all right in terms of we already know what your favorite song on the album.
Yes,
it is the title. I mean, it is really. I mean, it is a wonderful song. It's very rich.
Yeah.
There's God, the synth is fantastic in it.
Oh, it's incredible.
Let's see. Let me pull up Rick Derringer.
I also love. I know I brought it up, but I really do love This Is the Life a lot as well.
Yeah,
I like all the originals on this, but I also the parodies are great. The whole thing is good, but the reason I picked this to talk about on the podcast is the original songs.
Yeah,
and that's because it did influence a lot of Hot Carl and what I would end up doing moving forward. And this is one of the first times I was able to see you can make jokes and still make great original music.
Yeah. The see, this the albums that I'm finding, by the way,
for Derringer,
I'm pretty sure are mostly just his actual. I'm trying to find his actual production, his actual producing.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing about This Is the Life is it kind of it's aged way better than Johnny Dangerously. That's the other thing too.
Yeah, I mean a lot of it. Yeah, no, for sure.
Which, sorry,
Jay Levy still is manager, by the way.
He is,
yeah,
and a tough gatekeeper.
Yeah, he was not. Me and him have had a very shaky relationship, and Al has come in to sort of be like, talk to me. So yeah, no, Jay was not. Jay and I have not had a great history, but Al and I have.
See this? Yeah, well, not an uncommon story.
Yeah.
All respect, by the way, to him. This is proving a real hooker of a thing to pull up is getting Rick Derringer the rest of his
production.
Yeah,
Rick Derringer's at home, like someone's Googling me. Like, he like knows it's happening.
let's see. Well, it's gonna. If I go to discography, it's gonna do the same thing it did on.
There's no production credits for
maybe
Rick Derringer. But I knew that Al getting Rick Derringer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that being like a get.
Yeah.
Like I remember that being a thing. That was like cool for him to get. By the way, he's still playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed that too. You know what, this hey everybody, this is the internet part of the show.
Weird Al. He also worked on Ringo Starr's album. He worked on Todd Rundgren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean he
Edgar
he,
Winter.
Yeah, he seems to have worked on
Here
other
we
people.
Go. All right, so he did in 3D, which makes sense because that's one of my favorites. Polka Party.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he did this one, which for some reason it's not showing it right now, but there's no doubt in our mind, obviously. Okay, here we go. He did the first album, he did in 3D, he did this, he did Polka Party, and he did Even Worse.
That's incredible.
So, like,
how did that relationship... I mean, I don't know how that relationship started, but
I don't know.
What an odd relationship. Also, Rick Derringer did produce the wrestling album for WWF.
That's amazing.
So I was right. He did... Well, you know, guys, Rick Derringer produced... I Am a Real American. The Hulk Hogan song.
The Hulk Hogan song, right.
He produced it.
That is fantastic. So wait, you now have something in common in that you've both written or
we did.
Involved in wrestling.
He did. Wait, David Wolf at the time, Cyndi Lauper's manager, was executive producer of the WWF wrestling album. The album was basically Wolf's concept. Jim Steinem composed Hulk Hogan's theme. but it was also produced by Rick Derringer. But that means maybe he just produced the whole album.
Sure, sure, sure.
But yeah, Rick Derringer, man. WWF and Weird Al. I mean, he basically produced my childhood.
Here's the thing. This discography is so upsettingly long. He clearly is a guy who knows how to work hard, and I feel like that's what it was. It's like, yeah. Well, fuck it. Can I make this sound good? Great. Let's move on. Like,
oh my God. You know he's the guy singing Real American?
Really?
Rick Derringer's the guy going, I am a real American. You gotta be joking. That's unbelievable.
That's fantastic.
The guy who sings I'm a Real American, Hulk Hogan, produced a lot of Weird Al's best songs.
Yeah.
That's most of my childhood in one man.
Yeah. That's fucking fantastic.
Well, that's a really good dig. I knew he had produced it because I remember it was like a get for the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a get for Weird Al. It was good. He worked on Ringo Starr Records. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just the more you were manhandling the record, I don't mean that in Italy.
Yeah.
Ruin my record. It's like, I just love the collage cover too. It feels very much like the song and like the video.
Yeah. No, he always understood art really well. As a kid, I remember the 3D record being great, and Even Worse was so funny. And he seemed to understand. And I remember the Rocky Road 12-inch single.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
No.
It was like a drawing of him with like a bunch of ice cream and food. That was like a graphic I remember, and that was all drawn out. And he's done so much cool stuff and video. I mean, he's a pioneer in music videos.
I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, I mean, to you can't underrate the effect that him being a staple of MTV because they needed something to put on helped him.
Yeah, he helped define the music video.
Yeah.
So him and Michael Jackson clearly and a bunch of people in Madonna were at the forefront of. And he was like nominated for best video. He was joking. So he was just always. He's just such a talented man. That I think, and UHF and so many things he did. I never really got to see the Weird Al show, the TV show.
Oh, the later one?
Yeah.
For kids?
One that's like very expensive on DVD.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they just recently re-put it out, but I remember for a long time it was out of print.
Okay.
I never watched any of that, but anything he did touched, it was gold.
Yeah. Including ALTV. ALTV was a lot.
Maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
ALTV was the specials he would do once whenever he released an album or at least once a year on MTV when he would have all the fake interviews and shit with people.
Oh, yeah. That's still a thing he does is where he
does
pretends.
Does he still do it?
Every once in a while he'll do it. Yeah, we talked about it. I wrote a Funnier Die sketch for him.
Oh, okay.
And we talked about the interviews that he does and he's like, yeah, I still do them. He puts them up every once in a while.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm sure the Hollywood Bowl show will be full of new content.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. So, let's go back down the track list.
Yes.
Like a Surgeon is how we start the album, which is a strong start.
Yeah, and that's one of his best parodies.
Yeah.
In his top 10, at least.
Yeah. It's also... So, is the history true? Do you know the history to be true behind that song that supposedly that was suggested by Madonna?
I've heard that before, but then I've also heard, like, so many dumb rumors that, like... I mean, there was always like that he like had to go to. I mean, but then you hear some are true. Like Coolio's mad at him.
Yes,
that's true. He had to go to Michael to get the approval for most of Michael's stuff, and Michael was like, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
But then the Madonna one, I guess she had told him in passing that she thought it was funny, and then he wrote it.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, those all sound like such weird folklore.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that one for sure.
I do like the way that played out in the Funnier Die Weird Al.
Yes.
Fake. Bio trailer.
Yeah, that's Eric Appel, man, who's went on to do so many good things. But Eric, I remember early in Eric's career, he had directed that, and I was just like, man, that's so good.
Yeah.
And I met Eric. He had come in the art gallery that I own, and he gave me his credit card, and I recognized the name from the credits of that Weird Al bit, and I was like, oh my God, I loved your Weird Al bit. And that's how I met Eric, and we've been friends since.
Awesome.
And then I got to write something for him called The Weird Al Cabaret later, where it was like we were auditioning people to come in and do a review of Al's career. And so we had Tom Lennon and Ben Garand and Amy Mann and Tim Heidecker and the guy from Epic Mealtime came in and Dan Band did one. Garfunkel and Oates came in. We had Josh Fadem. I'm missing so many good people. Brett Gelman. Mm-hmm. But we did like, it looked like auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Drew Droege as sort of the runner of the play. And it was super fun. And we used like a pro wrestler and a sword swallower and just a stripper who was dressed like Weird Al. Just the dumbest bit. And it was super fun. And again, it was just an excuse for me to work with him.
The people who will be involved in a thing like that's a strong litmus test for people I actually will like. You know what I mean?
But have you met anyone who, like, I say that too. Like, if you don't get Weird Al, we can't be three friends. If you're like, oh, he's stupid, I listened when I was a kid, oh, please don't ever be in my life. But I haven't met anyone who feels that way.
Yeah. I almost had that moment in college. And then I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. I backed off of it because I'm like, why? And like, at the same time, I became best friends with my best friend because of Weird Al.
Yeah, me and my friend BJ in Iran growing up, that was one of my first concerts. Was it my first? Might have been my first concert at the House of Blues out here. We all, or his dad, BJ's dad, drove us there, and we had watched him. It was the Jurassic Park
tour. Oh, yes, tour. Perfect. Yeah.
And it was so funny and so good, and he came out in the fat suit and all this stuff. And then someone smoked weed near us, and I thought that was crazy. Because, two reasons. One, I'm, 11. Two, why are you smoking weed at a Weird Al concert? But kudos to that man. And so, yeah, like you said, it defined one of my friends, a bunch of friendships.
Yeah.
How much you like him.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not cool to like him in high school, but no one cared.
No. I mean, I think my first one, he was one of my first concerts, but I was 20 when I first saw it. So again, that college phase could have lasted maybe a few days.
Yeah.
I was like, well, is this still grown up? Well, no, it's not. Fuck off. That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
So yeah, Like a Surgeon is number one, and it is solid. Dare to Be Stupid is number two. God, that's just good. And
who's listed as a producer on Dare to Be Stupid?
It does not say.
It's him and Darren.
It does not specifically list it. And then the next one, it is not as dumb as Girls Just Want to Have Lunch. I Want a New Duck.
So good.
I love it.
So good.
It is dumb as shit, but solid.
And also he references that the duck steals his beer and stuff. It's like, that doesn't happen. They don't have hands. So there's so many questions in that song, but so funny. And also, I Want a New Duck is such a weird way to go.
Yeah. Well, that's the big thing. Yeah. I like when he's clearly admitting, not that I had nothing, but this is what I chose.
Yeah. And I love it. It's a weird decision that paid off. Could have went, I Want a New Rug. Could have went many different ways.
Uh-huh.
But I Want a New Duck seems like the right way.
Yeah. Doesn't even rhyme. It's great.
Yeah.
It's as active. He picks whatever's going to paint the best picture for you and make you feel stupid for laughing.
And I'm sure back in the day, in 1985, he also was thinking about what's the best music video.
Mm-hmm.
And Duck is a funny music video.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
That is true. next one is One More Minute, which honestly is one of my favorite originals of all time.
So good, yeah.
And I think it was years until I realized the dirty masturbation joke in it, that's one that only pays off when you're an adult, I think.
Yeah.
I hope.
For the child's sake. But so funny and so smart. And then I always think of the Adam Sandler song where he takes it even further with the shampoo bottle joke and all those things.
That's right.
And it's kind of the same joke.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's just a great song.
Hey everybody, Jason here. If you are a fan of the show, hopefully you're also a fan of friend of the show, Dan Telfer. Dan Telfer, I've said this many times, is my favorite stand-up. He is brilliant. He's one of the funniest people I've ever seen live or heard say anything. He's great. You should go to danrulescancerdrools.com, and that's not meant to scare you. Dan has a treatable form of cancer, but he needs money to, just to keep everything going while he's under treatment, okay? So if you go to danrulescancerdrools.com, that's going to send you to a youcaring.com page where you can donate. Whatever amount you can donate will help, so please do that today. Help out our good friend Dan Telfer. He's awesome. He deserves the help. He's a good man, funny man, and that is all. In 2012, Stolen Dress Entertainment brought you the feature-length mockumentary Looking Forward, the story of one 24-year-old man's presidential campaign, 12 years in advance of eligibility, and 16 years in advance of a good slogan. Now, in 2016, in anticipation of an historic election season, Stolen Dress Entertainment brings you the sequel, Looking Forward, 2016. For the next 9 months, 14 of the story's central characters will present video blogs, bringing you their side of the story. On the day following the election in November, the strangest, most unorthodox film sequel in history will be completed. Visit lookingforwardmovie.com to see every video as it is posted and to watch the original film for free. Subscribe to the channels you like, retweet the characters, and share your thoughts on the Looking Forward page on Facebook. Looking Forward 2016. One campaign in pieces.
And it's like an Elvis parody.
Yeah, basically. But that's the one, like I said, that I think it starts to kind of give you an idea of his range in terms of singing.
Absolutely.
And the guys. Because, like, his fucking band cannot be, like, they're underappreciated.
And most of them have been around for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 years.
Yeah. They're brilliant. Like, it's why I think we talked about it before, but, like, one of my favorite things is on how in Trapped in the Drive-Thru, how they just fucking recreated part of Black Dog.
Yeah.
Just fucking note for note.
Yeah. Those guys have to be so in tune, man.
It's beautiful.
I can only imagine.
And then the next one, Trademark Yoda.
Yes.
That's finally... I was so happy that it finally came true, the bit about Mark Hamill playing the part till he's old and gray. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. He does seem like he was on top of things on this song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also... Just, I mean, again, I don't think I ever, even as a kid, was like, I hope someone does a Star Wars parody song.
Yeah.
But this one was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's the only one to really ever do it right. People have tried so hard. That was like the early days of MP3s. Just, I got so upset when people would mistag things as Weird Al.
Well, especially now. Well, that's, I had a trouble because my rap voice sounded like Eminem's. Mm-hmm. But we came up around the same time. So I was always in trouble on Napster when it would say like Eminem. And I was like, oh, I should die right now. I don't want this to happen.
Crap.
But Al would, I'm sure if you were a parody singer in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, that would be the best case scenario to be compared to Weird Al.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, be your best case.
I just feel like I could never exactly figure out what the goal was there. Is your goal to be recognized by confusing yourself intentionally with Weird Al, but then nobody buys your shit?
I'm trying to think if there was ever someone who tried to take his throne?
I doubt it. There are, I have noticed every once in a while there will be an artist, like a serious artist, who sounds so much like him that for a second I think it's about to be a parody. Billy Joe Armstrong. There are a couple songs where I think it's Weird Al.
You know what sounds like a Weird Al song?
Hmm.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
It really does.
Like he actually the way Offspring guy sounds every once in a while, it's like, man, that sounds like Weird Al.
Yeah.
And then also the Bloodhound Gang, every once in a while, sounded like Weird Al.
100%.
So those were the ones that I remember being like, oh, they would clearly go satire if they could.
Sure.
But none of them that we just mentioned. I guess the Offspring were pretty good musicians. I don't like their songs, but technically I think they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else is just sort of like a garbage group.
Yeah.
Those people aren't good. Bloodhound Gang, I don't want to hear ever again. Yeah. We were on the same label, and I was like, please don't compare me to them. And they sold like 4 million records.
Of course they did. Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on Yoda?
As a kid, it wasn't the one that I kept going back to. Yeah. Like I said, I think I ran closer to the originals on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, as a kid, I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Now I wouldn't, like today I went through it again, just listening to it, and Yoda was one of the two that I was like, okay, and just moved on to the next one.
Yeah. Next one is just a straight up cover,
which I love.
Yeah.
I think it's so good.
Yeah.
It's George of the Jungle, where he gave words. Because not all the words are from the song, right?
I don't think so.
He added some, I think, yeah. But God, it was great. And also, it's like, you can tell when he's passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Yoda, to me, maybe he's not as passionate about it. He just knew it would be a smash satire.
Right.
But when you hear George of the Jungle, it's like, maybe for years he was thinking, I wish I could do George
of
the Jungle. That's
the feeling I got, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's a genuine nerd about that shit.
Yeah.
He also, I mean, if there's a... I can't remember off the top of my head. He's produced a few things that are just, like, unexpected. Like, for some reason, as a teenager, I bought a single from the movie The Mask.
Okay.
Okay.
Wait, The Mask with Eric Stoltz?
No.
Oh, The Mask with Jim Carrey.
With Jim Carrey.
Okay. By the way, two completely different movies.
Slightly. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And in this, there's a cover of Cuban Pete in the movie.
Yeah.
There, on it, there is a, like, I guess maybe a remastered something of Desi Arnaz's Cuban. Either way, Weird Al is listed as a producer on this single.
Hmm.
And I want to know why. I want to know what he did. I know he was obsessed with, like, Lucy and Desi, like, because of Hey Ricky and shit. Like, I know he loved that stuff, but I do not know, and there's not a lot of information on the internet about
that. That's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot that he always used to put the lyrics on the...
so good.
Yeah, in the album.
In terms of experience, this is a solid album. You get a lot of good cover art, good shit on the inside.
Very good.
The sleeve is printed on. Weird Al making some dumbass faces. It's great. Makes me so happy.
So good.
Okay, then the next one is Slime Creatures from Outer Space.
Which is his homage to sci-fi and sort of that like 50s, 60s, the aliens are coming stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, such little filler. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's also because he went with such a small amount of songs.
Right.
But I just don't fast forward to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And also the words... Here, let me see if I can pull that one out.
Yeah.
in this one, I remember today, listened again today, and I was like, man, how funny. And also, like, now he has this second life. He's on Aukerman's. He's on Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show.
God, I can't wait
which,
to see that.
Yeah, which, like, no one can do. He's one of the only people that could, like, have a 30-year career and still be on, like, the altiest TV show.
I know.
But, like, I sure hope they don't come in here. I just shampooed the rug. Like, that's his concern about the aliens. Like, I just shampooed the rug. I hope they don't come in here. Like, that's on a higher level of comedy than, like, you know, the guy who also sort of does all those jokes in UHF, the Naked Gun-esque stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he also had smarter jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really do love that song. It's one of those that, again, I think slipped by me for a long time.
And the hook is great.
Yeah.
It's not like Greener Matters, but it's just, like, a great, loud hook.
Mm-hmm. And it's very, like, in terms of production, it's rich. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's no Dare to Be Stupid, but it is similar in terms of, like, a lot of shit going on.
Yeah. And hip-hop, because people who don't know hip-hop are always, like, kind of, like, I always have to explain why The Chronic and all the Dre stuff is such a big deal. Because it kind of sounds like other rap. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, it doesn't sort of speak to a non-listener in a way of being like, oh my God, that's so much different than everything else.
Sure, sure.
But if you listen closer, you can hear there are 1,000 things going on. Mm-hmm. There's, like, he brought in a choir for a small part, and there's changes for 3 seconds and changes for 10 seconds, things that don't happen in other rap songs where it's just beat and hook and beat and hook.
Sure.
So, like Slime Creature from Outer Space and Dare to Be Stupid are sort of that for Al, which is, like, it was when he first started to be, like, very musical, and the musicality was just stepped up. And also, I don't know if other albums I don't remember if he featured his band so heavily in the art.
Right, right.
So I think maybe now he was just starting to kind of revel in the success was so high.
Yeah.
So I assume now he was, like, starting to get out some of the things he really wanted to do.
That's probably true. That's a good point. I mean, this is as close. It's not a concept album, but it is like you say, it's very tight, and it does seem to, like, I don't know, like you say, no filler.
No.
But it's ambitious. Yeah. I think
we're about to get to the one album, the song I don't love.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like it's the same.
Still
for me.
Good.
But it is. But okay, so the song is "Girls Just Want to Have Lunch." I think the one thing that I like about it is that, like, it's like the full extreme of what I Want a New Duck is, where it's like, there is nothing to put in here.
Yeah.
And I picked lunch. Everybody has to eat. It's like saying girls just like to breathe. Like,
now in 2016, girls just want a brunch is the joke.
That is true.
And I would hate it.
Yep.
Hate it. I would die. It would be the worst YouTube viral video ever.
Mm-hmm.
It would be white girls, and they'd be like, I just love brunch. And then a joke would be that then they go to SoulCycle, and that's just the dumb joke.
Yeah.
But, like, girls just want to have lunch. Like, they have to have lunch. It's part of our chemical balance. And so, like, that is sort of the funny part of it to me still. But I also don't love the voice he does. There's a couple things.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the jokiest one on an album where his humor is more subtle.
This is, like, the craziest Weird Al voice, which is, you know, what you're kind of used to from the early stuff. That,
It is.
Much as I appreciate it.
Yeah, it is the hello. It's his over the top. But it's the Bobcat Goldthwait of Weird Al.
Yeah. And then the next one's This Is the Life,
which is great,
which is fantastic. 1920s, 30s, like, jazzy.
Yeah,
it's fucking. There's some really good jokes in it too.
Yeah, really funny. And it kind of has that Setzer sound too.
Yeah.
Which I guess Curly Shuffle would be the only other. Is there another song that's? I mean, is Putting on the Ritz funny? It's not funny,
right?
Like, it's definitely a joke.
Sure.
Like, is Mr. Roboto funny?
That's a
yes,
good question.
Right? These are all funny songs.
Like, I feel like on some level you might be right,
because they're all joking.
Mm-hmm.
All of those ones I said are all, like, the band is in on the joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Al just did it. Like, those guys all did it really well.
Sure.
Those are all great songs.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I love Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah.
But there is it's a reference to a different, like, a jukeboxy tune. Like,
sure.
They're all like homages to other things, and they're done kind of campy on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's how I feel This Is the Life is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that a lot of that was happening at that time, 85, 86.
That's true, yeah.
So, I think this is almost as closest to those things. Because also the joke is just that he has a lot of money.
Yeah.
and lives a lavish life.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think the most probably, and there are a couple things in it that I think are at least relatively deep for, again, for a thing that is intentionally associated with a movie that, again, hasn't aged that well. Yeah. What the one line is, shit, I can't remember exactly what it is, but money can't buy happiness, so I guess I'll have to rent it, because, you know, which I thought was solid. I don't think I'd ever heard that kind of that line
before.
It's all
funny, man.
At least as a kid. Yeah, so I think it's good, but you're absolutely right. It is of that ilk, but it's got its own charm to it.
No time to pay my dues. I got a million pairs of shoes. I buy monogram Kleenex by the ton. I mean, it's all funny.
It is. I mean, I love a good Weird Al list song. Like, yeah. There are list songs, which is, I feel like maybe that's mostly what he does, but they're solid lists.
Yeah.
Next song is Cable TV.
Yes.
I actually really like this one. This does not list a style parody. This does not list, like, what is this parody?
No, I don't think it is.
It just says an original, which speaks a lot, I think. Speaks highly for him.
And I guess the joke is that cable was, like, it was, like, a luxury at the time. It was just starting.
Yeah.
And there was nothing great on TV on cable yet either, right? Yeah. That's part of the joke as well, is that it was like when ESPN was playing ping pong, which is true. That was like the first thing they showed. So I think it was just like how obscure cable is the joke.
I mean, it's equivalent, I think, to like making a song about one of the early smartphones, because they were garbage.
Yeah.
You could do very little on them.
Yeah,
you know, the idea of having it was it.
Yeah,
you know?
And also like now you could make a joke about how Atari 2600 was so basic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
I feel like that's absolutely right. But then I also get really sad listening to it. Like, when I listen to any of his songs that are about I'm eating too much or I'm watching too much TV, like, it's intentionally so sad.
Yeah.
Like, I've got nothing else in my life, but this makes me so happy.
But he does it in a lot. He does it in White Nerdy later. He does it a lot of, like, he's always sort of, he just takes the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes from a place of, like, love.
Of course.
It's just, he, like, turns it to 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just makes me so unhappy.
Yeah.
But, again, it's a great sounding song.
Yeah.
It just is hard, heavy rock.
You know what's weird, too, is, like, working with Al and knowing him a little bit, the amazing part of the man, too, is, like, so many comedians have, like, and myself included, have, like, a side of darkness. Like, you know, we all have some sort of story that sort of unites us about our childhood, or something that sort of made us want to be funny or made us want to be the center of attention. I can't figure out where Al's is.
No.
And that's not a bit. Like, every time I meet him, I'm like, he's thrillingly happy.
Yeah.
His family's incredible. I've met his wife and his child, and they've all been so nice. And he just is always smiling, and he's always willing to take a photo. And there just doesn't seem to be a down day for Weird Al.
No, I know. That's because one day he's going to murder us all.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
He's going to walk through the airport with a gun. But
he's so wonderful. And like, I love Aukerman on the podcast a few times has tried to hammer him and get him to be dark. And he just is like, I don't.
He can't. Not who he is.
But, you know, any darkness in there is like human darkness. It's not like, it doesn't seem to come from a place of anger or hatred. It's just like, I've observed this about humanity.
Yeah.
Here's an intro. Like, which is what I think makes him a great fucking artist.
Yeah, he notices lazy and fat a lot.
Like, he does.
Since early in his career, he's always noticed sort of the gluttony of American culture.
But I feel like there's no reason to stop doing that either. Like, people can say, oh, he does TV and food. He's doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
It's still relevant.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
It's relevant for me, this asshole who loves Weird Al, but I'm a fucking glutton sometimes.
Right.
So, like, why not? Thank you, Weird Al, for being there.
He's the best.
And then, okay, so the next one is Hooked on Polkas.
So it's a staple in the Weird Al career.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, he'll do a medley of hits from around that time in polka style. And this one has Twisted Sister in it, right? Is that the one on UHF? No, this one's on here.
Yeah.
There's a couple on there that I really liked. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
I remember Twisted Sister being on this one.
First one is 12th Street Rag, which is one I do not know. Uday Bowman.
Nope.
State of Shock by Mick Jagger and Michael Jackson.
Yep.
Then we got Sharp Dressed Man.
Yeah, which he kills.
Yes.
Yeah, it sounds so good.
What's Love Got to Do With It? Tina Turner. That, I don't know why. It's just when he says do, it's just he's intentionally saying it in a goofy way.
Yeah.
Method of Modern Love by Hall & Oates.
And also the cool part about these are also, like, he doesn't dedicate more than, like, 8 seconds sometimes.
Sometimes
it's just one line from the song, and then he's into the next one.
And there's it's the same thing. It's like recognition comedy, but at the same time, like you say, like, he plays it so fucking well.
Yeah.
I wish I knew what a bad accordion player sounded like so I could appreciate his playing better.
Yeah, but
I do, like, know he's
considered
a god.
He's a god. Yeah.
I do know that in terms of, like, you know, from other people.
Yeah, I love that game of, like, who I always like playing the game of, like, Tommy Lee mm-hmm. is a drumming god.
Sure.
But the funny part is like his career has been so tabloid based
right.
that like no one ever thinks of it that way. And Al being like a god accordion player, no one really puts together either.
No.
But like these dudes are like, you know, both of them are like, you know, kind of punchlines.
Mm-hmm.
Like Al has sort of aged very well. Yep. So has Tommy Lee, actually.
Sure.
Both of them have aged very well, but like for a long time they were punchlines for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the Al punchline in Naked Gun, which mm-hmm. Al played along with, sort of being like, you know, a joke musician.
Yeah.
And then Tommy clearly has had a career of jokes, but
yeah.
at the end of the day, both like skilled technicians.
Yeah.
And so I love that about Al.
And Weird Al, actual yeah. certifiable genius.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he graduated high school at 16.
That's right.
Got an architecture degree.
Yeah. And then he would record songs in like a bathroom, right? Isn't that his story? And then he would play them for Dr. Demento, mm-hmm. who considered him like a child genius.
Yeah.
And then didn't know his father, that Al's father was like a mastermind accordion player,
right?
And so then found that out and then sort of brought him in the show. From there on.
Let's see. Next is Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes is on there. Mm-hmm. We're Not Going to Take It, Twisted Sister, 99 Love that. Balloons,
yeah,
which by the way does so the good. German version.
Yeah.
Well done. Footloose. Mm-hmm. The Reflex by Duran Duran. Bang Your Head, Quiet Riot. Relax by Frankie Goes
Hollywood. Ah, which he does so well, yeah.
He does too, and I like that's his. Every once in a while, he'll take an opportunity. I'm not being dirty, they're the one being dirty. So
yeah.
he just gets to say come a bunch.
Yeah.
It's really funny. And then it lists Ear Booker Polka by him, which is like, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that is like the backing track of it, or at least the ending of it.
Yeah, I think because he always ends with his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always ends with like his own original part.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which always sound familiar. You think you've heard them before, yeah. but it's him.
It's like big finales, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're so fantastic. Fun. They make me so happy.
Does he still do those on new albums?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're great.
Because I remember hearing one kind of recently
mm-hmm.
and it being like Miley Cyrus and him doing like new pop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're solid. They're still great.
Is he supposedly like making a new album or he's just touring?
From what I understand, he's going to just tour.
Yeah.
And maybe only release shit online because he finally got out of his contract.
That deal, that terrible music deal.
It's upsetting.
Yeah.
That's so bad. And
he's
they've
like
got,
slave trade.
Because of Frank Zappa, I guess, like, it was impossible to do the, all right, fuck it, I'm going to release 5 albums in 1 year, get out of my contract. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So he got screwed.
He ended up being like a, sort of like a prime example. Like, he ended up suing his label, and he was mm-hmm. one of the guys that everyone was looking to for a while to get out of that deal, and it didn't happen. He just had to run it through.
Sucks. Yeah. I mean, again, he made some great shit the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
But
he didn't phone in.
No. I'm looking forward to see what he does now, though, with this, because, like, he's talked about, like, I'm now competing with the internet.
Yeah.
So I've got to get my shit out, like,
well, there's 20,000 Weird Al's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there wasn't, when we were kids, it was one.
Right.
Now everyone has a parody song, and
exactly.
It's like, I have a friend who was working on, this isn't out of school because he said it on our podcast, but I had a friend who was working on the new Beverly Hills Cop movie, which I think is still sort of, like, stalled.
Okay.
But he was writing with Eddie Murphy for a long time, and they talked about stand-up, and Eddie was like, oh, no, everyone's a stand-up. He was like, back in the 80s, it was me and 25 other people.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, now you go online, you could find thousands of stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
He's like, and you don't know whose material's what, and what, you know, what hasn't been said, what point of view has been said. And I feel like Al it probably runs into that as well, especially when he can just tour, and it's not, that's not lazy.
Right.
He puts on such an incredible show
that
I'm sure he gets the same satisfaction as making new music, because it's all of it's a big production.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and that is one thing he's going to always benefit from, is A, being a showman, B, being a great live musician, because that is not necessarily what everybody's forte is going to be. C, wonderful. He's still great at making videos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this will always be him, and it's like he's a very complete multimedia artist, and that's not a thing you always find.
No, and the label must be so mad that last record was the highest selling.
Oh, yeah.
That must be aggravating for them, because they know it's just going to go up in the next one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What was the single on that one? What was...
Jesus.
I remember.
I should really know.
I wonder what was the thing that sold... Oh, he put out like 6 videos.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It wasn't that he had like one thing. It was that he had like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And one was so funny. It was like a normal song, and then it became about the people thinking that aliens were coming.
Yeah, Foil.
Right, Foil, right.
Fucking great.
Which I loved. And that was like so smart.
Oh, shit, now my throat. Sorry, give me a second.
No.
Jesus, Christmas. All right. That's one thing. When I was like listening to that song, I'm like, I was nervous.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
So I was nervous. I'm like, where is this fucking going? Mm-hmm. I will give him benefit of the doubt, always.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what? And then I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's so
smart. My God. This is like revelatory.
Yeah, it's so good.
Good and dumb.
And young and like so, like this generation of comedy. Mm-hmm. Like he's readjusted his humor to fit each, like as we grew up, he was growing up with us, and that was a song that like I would have died to write myself. Absolutely. And I don't say that a lot about Al's stuff, mm-hmm. but that was like one where I was like, man, that's really smart.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're gonna recommend this album to people,
yes,
why listen to this one as your first weird? Let's say you haven't somehow heard Weird Al.
Yeah.
Why listen to this one first?
Because I think that it shows you both his talent as a parody artist and as an original artist, mm-hmm. more than any of the other albums. 3D being kind of possible is there too. Mm-hmm. But like most of your people in your life know him from I'm Fat and know him from Eat It and know him from like a surgeon. This has a couple of those.
Yeah.
This has like a surgeon, which is a hit. It has I Want a New Duck, which is super funny, mm-hmm. and ones that you'll recognize as parody. But this is the first time, in my opinion, at least the way I listen to him chronologically, this was the first time I went, oh no, he's also something else.
Yeah.
And so you can sort of learn that it's not just, oh, I don't just have to like giggle at him changing a word. Mm-hmm. It also can be a full concept that is evolved and funny.
Yeah.
And that's why I would push towards this.
Yeah,
that's good. I always tell people this is my favorite one. So
For me, because I gravitated towards the other ones, like there's part of me that wants to continually revisit this at least like once a year because it gets better every time.
Yeah, and UHF is good too.
Yeah,
that one was one that we all sort of didn't give as much attention as like Even Worse and those, but mm-hmm. the UHF soundtrack is really funny too.
Yeah,
and that has the Dire Straits parody, which is in my top five favorites that he's done.
And that's got to be one of his most expensive music videos too, if I'm not mistaken, because that CG shit was very expensive at the time.
Yeah, his Jurassic Park one's expensive too, right?
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, it has to have been.
Yeah, so yeah, I try to think of which ones he spends a lot of money on. Like a Surgeon, not a lot of money in that.
No,
one.
No, it's great.
There's got to be a Dare to be Stupid video. Yeah, I think there is. Is, right?
It's great.
From like an Al TV or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it looks like this cover, kind of. It's just fucking insane, except for they're dressed in their own version of Devo.
Devo, I remember, yeah.
So good.
I do remember it.
Well, okay, do you have anything to promote?
I do. I have a book coming out on June 7th.
Okay.
It's called Kanye West Owes Me $300 and Other Stories from a White Rapper Who Almost Made It Big. And it's very much in line with Weird Al. I had a music career in my late teens, early 20s, where I signed a $1 million record deal at Interscope and recorded with these huge names in rap, like Redman and Fabolous and DJ Quick and a young Kanye West, who I loan money to, and now 20 years later still owes it to me. So I sort of tell the story from being a teenager who was obsessed with, I think there's a good Weird Al mention it as well, but obsessed mostly with hip-hop in a very affluent area. I was not affluent, but the area around me was.
Sure.
And I sort of championed hip-hop for my whole life and then became part of it around 20 and really was amongst some very strange stories with Kanye, clearly, and then I wrote with Cisco after the Thong Song. I wrote a song with him, and I worked, Sugar Ray took, Mark McGrath threw me a 21st birthday party. All these very weird stories that no one else could ever tell are sort of in this book, and it comes out June 7th. And you can pre-order it now at JensenKarp.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
On Twitter?
It's JensenKlan88. That's with a C. I'm not racist. So it's JensenKlan88. And I tell tons of dumb jokes on there, and then mm-hmm. you'll be able to sort of follow what I'm doing for the book as well.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. People should visit Gallery.
Yeah, Gallery 1988, which is Gallery1988.com. It's a gallery and then the numbers. And it's an art gallery where I've worked with Al. We had a Weird Al tribute posters. We have a lot of them still that should be sold out but are close, mm-hmm. Where we took some of his best moments and turned them into limited edition screen prints. Awesome. So we have one for Eat It by Alex Pardee, one for White and Nerdy by DKNG. Awesome. A bunch of great artists sort of reinterpreted his music into posters, and he ended up using them, which was like an honor for us. He used them in his book. So in his book, he used all of those images throughout it, and he's just been such a supportive guy for me in mm-hmm. both the gallery. I had a miscommunication with Jay, and this is just a story that I love. I don't know if I've ever really told publicly, but Jay, we wanted to do something with Al, mm-hmm. and Jay had set it up. I called Jay. We wanted to do a 20th anniversary for UHF. Mm-hmm. And 20? Yeah, 20.
Yeah.
And Jay blew it. There's no other way I could put it. I don't know really how it ends, but it ends with me very mad at him. And that's how it could have ended.
Mm-hmm.
And Al sent me an email a year later. Mm-hmm. He got my email through someone else. And it was the nicest email I've really ever gotten from someone. It was because I was so hurt by what happened.
Sure.
And it was not Al's fault at all.
Sure.
It was a miscommunication. And Al had written that it was a major it was a major disappointment in his career. And to read that after how much pain I had from it, and to read that from him, and he was like, "You give me a date, you tell me what you want to do, it's done." And I was like, and I just thought it was like a prank.
Of course.
I was like, oh my God, who knew that this hurt me so much? Uh-huh. And so I wrote him back, and he was like, there. And he showed up at the gallery, and he took, you know, did autographs and photos for 2 hours. And,
holy shit.
And has since been like super supportive of us. And awesome. I wrote a sketch for him, and I wrote it, I sent it to him, and he loved it. And we did that. Yeah, he's just been, he follows me on Twitter, and every once in a while it'd be very nice to send me a note. And he's just been, how would I ever have been able to meet a hero in that way and have him be so humble and supportive? I'm not the one he supports. You know, he obviously has done small things for me, but some comedians he's, you know, championed.
Sure.
And people that he's reached back, and that's been such a cool part about him.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
He's the only person who, like, I am so 50-50 on, like, he's never done the show.
Yeah.
And I'm so, like, but at the same time, every time I've gotten a rejection that's come in any way from him, it's not a rejection. It's also, it's been like, hey, I've listened to your show. It's good.
Yeah, he's so sweet.
We can't arrange it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's Weird Al.
Yeah.
It's so
you can't
pleasant.
Be mad.
No,
yeah.
I couldn't
even
never.
If he was like, listen, I think it's garbage. You'd be like, you know what, Al? You're a great man.
You're probably right. You know what? Show over.
You know what? Shutting it down.
Fuck it.
No, he's been great and I can't believe he sends a Christmas card to me. I mean, that's shocking.
Awesome.
I literally would call my 11-year-old self and be like, this is happening, and then I just probably jump into traffic.
Yeah. Right?
I don't want to say that. Yeah. I don't need to live it. You just told me that's fine. Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay, so everybody, listen to this album.
Yes.
Please. And buy Jensen's book.
Follow
him
please.
On Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Go to his website.
Yeah.
Find out where he lives. Go to his house.
Yeah, no, you're all invited. Come over, I'll cook a pot roast.
I don't know when this is going to come out, but as long as it comes out before November, which it definitely
will. Yeah, please.
It'll come out before
for the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's November, don't buy the book.
Yeah, right.
Like, we're already done with the major push. At this point, it's really all about the first month. Other than that, I'm already working on a new book. So, November, it's fine. Buy it. It's very enjoyable. You'll like it. But let's not push it.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
But yes, please, no, this will come out very soon. But go to lookingforwardmovie.com. That is the movie sequel. That is a series of blogs from 14 different characters from this movie that I did a couple years ago. Again, lookingforwardmovie.com. There should be a trailer up there by now in case you're not interested in the friggin' 2 hours of shit that's already up there after a month. And thank you guys for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. Please visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, read our blogs, read our tweets, watch our videos, and read our books. Please subscribe on iTunes, and if you like us, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. You can find us on facebook.com/comedyonvinyl, Twitter @comedyonvinyl, and find everything else at comedyonvinyl.com.
Stolen Dress Entertainment proudly presents its new educational documentary series, The Dan and Jay's Comedy Hour Podcast. In it, you will learn such things as the origin of jelly.
So he went home and did his dog in the cage. Yeah. Yes, you can take a guess at what he put in the donut.
The discovery of synthetic cheese.
So along comes this little guy, whom we all know and love, just know actually. Wedgie.
I can help you.
Can you?
Yes. I've got a solution.
What is it?
Synthetic cheese.
Ta-da!
And the brewing process of candy mead.
I get, like, one of those giant microbrew things, right? Put it on the garage. I fill it with, like, a 12-pack of Bud Light. Throw in a bunch of candies and just leave it there for a year.
Won't you join us every Monday at www.danandjay.com? We learn you good.